Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I got the call about 4:30 today. Hey, almost too much time. Had too much time to think about it, you know. So, open up to Romans 12. Unless he takes me some other direction, all I can do when you're in the middle, when you're meditating something out and you're right in the middle of it, you can't really talk about anything else. I mean, I guess I could, but you wouldn't want to hear it. Even though it would be truth, it'd be dry. I've been going through, I can't think of a better word. I keep coming back to this word, epiphany. Because what's been happening to me lately is not revelation of new passages of Scripture. These are verses that I have known, that I have taught on, subjects that I thought I understood. And even as I try, this is several times now, this will be another time I'm going to try and share with you what's going on with me. I'm getting a little better. Every time I try and do it, it comes out a little better. But it's an epiphany. This time I went and got a definition out of the New American Standard Dictionary. The word epiphany means a sudden manifestation of the essence or meaning of something. A sudden manifestation. Or another way to say that, settle down in the front row there now. I'm going to have to separate you two? What? Anyway. That's Dave and Sue for benefit of the tape. And the next row, too. A comprehension or perception of reality. Did you hear that? A comprehension or perception of reality by means of a sudden intuitive realization. That's real long. The best way, being a guy, that I know how to describe an epiphany is, you know, young boys, when they're little and maybe 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, they know what girls are, but they just about as soon kiss a frog, you know. You know, I mean, really, they know what girls are, that there's no real attraction of any kind. I mean, it's, you know, okay, girls. Yeah, I know they exist. You know what they are. And, but there's just, you know, then suddenly, it's not new information. It's not like you didn't know there were girls on the planet. You've seen them your whole life. It's not new information. But suddenly one day you wake up, and at a certain age, maybe, you know, I guess puberty is what we... Suddenly you see girls, or there is a manifestation, a perception of reality, by means of a sudden intuitive realization. And you go, wow. Now you knew there were girls. You knew that they existed. It's not really any new knowledge. But you have had an epiphany. And your life will never be the same again. That's kind of what's happening, really. What's going on with me right now. And it's on the subject of righteousness. And we're just going to share some things. We might go a little further, maybe not, than where we've gone in the past. But this began in Romans 12. We're not just going through the book of Romans again. And, you know, being a teacher of the word for a long time, especially, I have taught a lot on confession. How many of you know I'm big on confession? I have taught a lot about that. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Are two of my most favorite verses that I've taught on my whole life, my whole Christian life. And let's just read it again. I know you know it by heart, practically. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And that word therefore means based on everything I've said up to this point. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you guys have heard me teach on that. You've heard other people teach on that. You know, if you're going to have to do something with your mind, or you're going to, you know, you can be born again. See, the born again experience happens in an instant. But the transformation to the image of Christ happens over time. I know some people that's been saved 50 years. Their very little transformation has happened. They was mean as a snake the day they got saved. They're pretty much mean as a snake today. Now, I'm glad they're going to heaven, but they're still pretty much conformed to this world. Why? Because they have not done anything to renew their mind. Okay? All right? So I've taught on all kinds of, I've taught how to be healed. Okay, you know, if you don't do something, normally when cancer comes in the world, you die. You know, and if you don't do something to transform your mind, not be like the world, you're going to die like the world does. You know, so we've taught about all kinds of things. But then this last time, just recently, I was going through here. Now see, these kind of things happen, and maybe not exactly the same way. The Holy Ghost is an individual, personal teacher. How He does it for me may be different than how He does it for you. I'm just going to share with you some ways that He does it. This is what happened to me. I was going through here again, and I was reading those two verses, and like a split screen in my mind, I saw, now not like literally out here, but in my mind, I saw Romans 12, 1 and 2 on the right side. Turn over to John chapter 8. And on the left side of the screen, I saw John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Just as plain. And I could kind of shake my head and come to myself. And I start reading it again, and there it was again. Now, the Holy Ghost is trying to show me something. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I figure if, you know, something like that happens, God's trying to show me something. Well, this is one of the most familiar passages that we've ever had in the Bible. You know, I mean, you've heard this your whole life. John 8, verses 31, 32. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, the thing of it is, though, free from what? See, because I have taught Romans 12, 1 and 2 all kinds of ways, and they're all valid. You got to renew your mind to come out of poverty into prosperity. You've got to renew your mind to come out of sick. Well, you don't have to. You might get it by the gifts, but if you're going to walk in it and possess it full time the rest of your life, you need to renew your mind to come out of sickness into health. If you've got a bad marriage, you need to renew your mind to what the Word of God says about your spouse. If you got wayward children, you got to renew your mind. On and on and on we could go, because that principle applies to every area of life. But now what the Holy Ghost was doing, He says, that's all good, but that's not what Paul's talking about. What He's talking about, and this is how he let me know what He's talking about, He started showing me that split screen. We've got to renew our mind that we're free from something. Free from what? Well, let's keep reading. The Jews didn't know either. Verse 33, they answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Now, boy, Jesus doesn't leave them any wiggle room here. He nails it down where you can't possibly misunderstand what He's talking about. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, and that's the word slave. You don't have a choice. Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. And the slave abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, church, altogether, free from what? Free from sin. Now, see, all those other lessons from Romans 12, 1 and 2 apply. They're all okay. You got to renew your mind. But suddenly I began understanding. When Paul says the word, go back to Romans 12 now. When he says, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, based on everything I have been teaching you in Romans 1, Romans 2, Romans 3, all the way up to right now, based on everything I've told you, you got to renew your mind, or else you're going to keep walking like the world. You have got to come to the place where you believe you have been made free from sin. And just to show you a recap, I know y'all been down the Born Again Trail like I was. Dave's being real nice. He's not sitting there on the front row going autistic, which he could be, you know. See, I'm finding out there's a big difference between knowledge and faith. Knowledge is good, but knowledge isn't faith. It's not faith till it changes you. See, until it changes you, you're still gathering knowledge. Now, just we could many, many places we could go through Romans, everything that he said up to this point. We could go through many, many places, but let's just get right down to it. Go over to Romans 7, and y'all know what's going on there. That is that no matter how many modern commentators tell you that's a Christian having trouble with his flesh, it's not. That is a man like Saul before he got saved. A man who was zealous for God. A man who wanted to please God. A man who did everything that he could possibly, trying to keep the law because he knew that it pleased God for man to live righteous. And with all of his effort, everything that he could, his whole life, he said in Philippians, he said, according to the law, blameless. That doesn't mean he perfectly kept it. He probably kept it pretty good, knowing Saul at that time. But if he did miss it, then you offered the appropriate sacrifice, and in the eyes of the law, according to the law, you're blameless. But what was his motivation? His motivation was to please God. See, Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are those that hunger. They thirst and hunger after righteousness. They will be filled. See, I got to tell you, when I got saved, I wasn't hungering and thirsting after righteousness like Saul. I really wasn't. I just didn't want to go to hell. I was kind of like what I've heard Dave say. God, can't you just give us miracles and leave us alone? I just want to go to heaven now. Leave me alone. You know? I didn't have that same zeal like Saul did. But now I'm reading through Romans 7. I finally got what he's talking about. This is Saul and everybody else who really, their whole reason that he was so zealous trying to keep, said, with my mind I agree, God. Your law is good and perfect and holy, and with my mind I'd set my will. I will keep this. I will keep this because I know it pleases you. I want to live righteous and holy because it pleases you. But he found out the thing that I set in my mind, I'm never going to do that again. What happens? He winds up doing it again. He said, the good that I want to do, I wind up not doing. The evil that I don't want to do, that's what I wind up doing. And almost in agony near the end of 7, he goes, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Crying out. In fact, we'll sum it up here in Romans 7, starting in verse 23 or 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me in captivity to the law of sin. You ought to underline law of sin. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Let's say it in a little less King Jamesy. What's he saying in Romans 7? I don't want to sin anymore. I see your law. I want to keep it. I set my mind to keep it. And I may do okay for a little while, but there's something wrong in the inward man. There's something wrong on the inside. And no matter how hard I set my will, God, I'm crying out. There's something wrong with me. There's this law of sin on the inside. And I can't deliver myself. Who will deliver me? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, now this is how it was before he got saved. So with the mind, I myself, in other words, my desire is to serve the law of God. But what I wind up doing in the natural, I wind up serving, there it is again, the law of sin. Underline it again. The law of sin. Twice here in three verses. Verse 23, captivity to the law of sin. Notice that. Verse 25, with the flesh, he's a slave to the law of sin. But notice, thank God there's a chapter 8 in our Bible. See, and this is the thing that he's leading up to in Romans 12. This is right here. This is John 8. This is John 8. This is what Jesus was talking about, the new birth. This is what Dave was talking about all down the born-again trail, not just, and amen, yeah, I got that. go off, teach it. I could teach it pretty good too. Didn't change me very much until just recently. So anyway, the law of sin. Now look at verse 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, in verse 23, he talked about the law of sin, slave to it. Verse 25, he says, my flesh, I have no choice. I wind up serving the law of sin. But notice in verse 2 of chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, 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 free from the law of sin and death. You ought to underline it again. I've got it underlined all three places, the law of sin. This is what Jesus was talking about. This is what Paul is talking about. Now go back over to Romans 12. See, the man in Romans 7, the man who's not yet born again, the guy like Saul, he so wants to not sin. He seeks, he's thirsty, and he's hungering after righteousness. He's hungering after it. But every time there's a law working on the inside, it's that death nature. He says, no matter how hard I set my mind, and I got a feeling Saul had pretty good willpower. This guy, you don't want to get any competition with this guy. But he says, even with him, as strong-willed as he was, I find a law. It's a law of sin working on the inside of me. But I'm hungering and I'm thirsty. He did everything he could in the natural. We'll read about it here maybe in a minute in Philippians. He says, I did everything in the world in the natural trying to keep the law, and I couldn't do it. This law of sin, just I was a slave to it. But he says, that was okay. So he was trying to do what? Present his body holy. But he found there was a law in his members, the law of sin that would make him the slave. He kept trying to be the master of his body. And that law of sin kept riding up and said, no, you're the slave. But finally, got born again. That law of sin and death died on the cross. Died on the same cross with Jesus. And that law of the Spirit of life, that new nature that came on the inside. Finally, now it can turn to the body and it says, bow the knee. That's why he says, now therefore, in Romans 12, based on all of this, based on everything I've said to you, I've been teaching this to you for 11 chapters. Based on everything, therefore, God's been so merciful to give us this new nature. We didn't deserve it. See, it says by the mercies of God. We didn't deserve it. Man deserves hell, if you want to know the truth of it. Man deserves hell. But by the mercies of God, he could have left us that way. By the mercies of God, he sent his son. He sent his son to the cross. By the mercies of God. God's been so good to us to not only purge us by the blood, but then to give us that gift of a new nature so that we can actually live righteous. He said, based on all that, I beg you. Beseech means I beg you. I am begging you like on my hands and knees. Please, based on the price Jesus paid, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And here's that word just so you can't possibly miss it. Holy. Say it out of your mouth. Holy. This is what Saul wanted before the new birth. That's what he was trying to do, was present his body holy. And everyone else who was seeking after and thirsting after righteousness, that was the motivation. But what man couldn't do through the energy of his own willpower, God did by mercy and by grace alone. Now it's incredible to me, because I wasn't kidding earlier when I said, God looked at our spirit and says, I can quicken that spirit from death to life. He looked at our minds and says, I can give them my word and the Holy Ghost as their teacher. And if they want to meditate my word and pray in other tongues, their mind can be renewed. But it's like he looked at our bodies God says, even I can't do anything with that. I just declare it dead. We could go through all the teaching here later in Romans. He says, Christ be in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The body is dead because of sin. But now this thing, and I don't know about your body. Now my body may be legally dead, but it don't believe it. My body thinks it's very much alive, thank you very much. And it wants what it wants, when it wants it. And it don't care what I want. And it doesn't care at all what God wants. Yeah, I'll be honest with you, it don't even care what the devil wants. It wants what it wants. And it's crazy. It will kill itself on its own excess. You know? It will. It'll kill itself on its own excess. It's, you know, you can leave... We've had cats most of our lives when we had pets, you know, and then you can leave a lot of food out for cats and they'll be fine because they'll just eat so much a day. You leave out too much food for a dog, he'll kill himself. You know, the flesh is more like a dog. I mean, it'll just kill itself. It'll eat Krispy Kremes till it pukes and then want some more. Or whatever it is you like. And goes on a long ways beyond food. Could be pornography. Could be gossip. Some people just live on gossip. They'd rather gossip than eat, and I don't understand that. But some people would, boy. They'd rather gossip, man. Other people are talebearers, you know. Anyway, we could go. There's all kinds of things. See that you can look at the whole list of the flesh over in Galatians, you know. All those things. But see, now the thing of it is, your body is not... Hold out your arm, pet that thing. Pet that thing. See, that thing's not saved. It can't even be renewed. It's just as lost as the day Adam fell, if you'll allow me. It's just as lost, and it has no hope. You know, it can only be controlled. Now, that's exactly what the unregenerate man in Romans 7 was trying to do. He was trying to live holy, trying to live righteous before God. But he found a law where? In his members. He kept trying to make his members the slave. And the members turned around and said, no, you be the slave. And you go, no, you the slave. No, you the slave. You see the war going on? But now finally, Paul says, because of what God has really done now you, it is possible. This is the guy who couldn't do it. He tried. He ought to know what he's talking about. But here in Romans 8, he says, I beseech you. In other words, I'm telling you, this is possible now. You can do this. And I'm reading this. You know, it's no big secret. I've been telling y'all for a long time about it. See, and I always pick on my deal because I figure that's nicer than trying to find out about your deal. You know, I smoked forever and 2 days. And for years, you come in here and preaching. Dave knew about it. We didn't flaunt it, but I didn't want to keep it a secret either, you know. And I come down to listen to those Born Again Trail. I've gone back here lately. I've been listening to some of those again because I thought, well, maybe Dave didn't tell me straight. I wish that was the case, kind of. Not really. I'm glad it wasn't. But I went, Sue and I, coming back from Ohio, we listened to some of those. Volume 1, Born Again Trail. Boy, Dave's just... I said, man, he was saying things like, your flesh will think it's been run over by a freight train if you ever get a revelation of the new nature that's on the inside of you. And he'd do it again and again. He kept saying it and kept saying it. And I'm going, boy, he's really strong about that. Sue goes, no, he's hammering. He is hammering on it, I'm telling you. On and on and on. But I remember, in those days, I mean, he would say that. And I'd see it in my Bible. And knowledge would come. I mean, I wasn't arguing with the man. See, later on now, this is going to evolve. He's teaching me really what unbelief is. See, Marvina said it. What we call believing and what God calls believing are two different things. We tend to think knowledge is faith. No. Knowledge is just knowledge. In fact, actually, knowledge tends to puff up. Anyway, that's coming. That's coming. I'd listen to him. I was here in those services. I was in that same service. Now I'm listening to it. He is just telling it as straight as anything. So, but I know how I was at the time, and I didn't argue with him. Yes, yes, yes. Get in the car after the service, go up to 81st, make a left, get past the first tree, and light up another cigarette. And now I'm trying to go back and think, what am I thinking? Well, Sue and I, we've been talking about that, and the thinking went something like this. We weren't arguing with Dave. It's not like we didn't say it was truth. But if you really want to come right down right to it, yeah, I heard that, I know that, but you don't understand. I'm not free. I'm really not. I mean, I heard that, but you just don't know the evidence that piles up in my body when I try and be free. I have a lot of evidence quickly that tells me I'm not free, called withdrawals. My body would, I've told you about this before. I mean, I don't know how many times I made that decision, I'm going to quit. And again, we're not doing a seminar on quitting smoking. I'm using mine so I don't have to talk about yours, okay? The same thing applies to whatever it is you're dealing with. So, my body, I'd say, body, this is it. I've been made free. That's it. No more cigarettes. And at first, my body would... It was nice enough. Okay, that sounds good. I heard Dave too. For about 30 minutes. It was real nice, About 30 minutes, my body starts going, I'd like to discuss our previous agreement. Actually, I'm not so sure you are free. And if you don't mind, could we just maybe just smoke half of one and we'll talk about this. I'm exaggerating a little, but No, we quit. That's it. No more. That's it. We quit. By the way, I've had my lighter stomped on by every evangelist, every big name you can think of, convention centers and churches all over the United States. Have to go buy new lighters, buy new packs of cigarettes. Not like we tried. We never did justify it. We knew it shouldn't be. But just didn't know how to get free. And I thank God. I want to inject this. Dave did time and again, and it saved us. Listen, two things. Now, as long as you're not justifying the sin, and as long as you're seeking the truth and doing the things that will eventually get you there, like coming to church, listening to the Word, meditating the Word, praying, doing all those things. Listen, if you just don't know how to get free yet, how to walk out of it, God will walk through hell with you. And let me tell you, I know, I may add my testimony. He healed cancer through these hands while I was still smoking. Now, don't tell me that he's not a merciful God. I just didn't know how to get free of it yet. Where you get in trouble is when you start justifying it. Oh, it's not really sin. It's okay. No, that's where you get in trouble. But anyway, getting back to my body, it was real nice for a little while. But I'm telling you right now, after, it wouldn't take very long. 2 hours, the gloves came off. My body says, if you don't give me a cigarette, what do you mean feeding me cigarettes for decades and then just cutting me off cold turkey? If you don't give me a cigarette, I am going to make your life a living hell. You won't sleep. You won't eat. You'll be mad at your wife. You won't be able to hold. I'm going to make your life miserable. Give me what I want. 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 Your body ever talk to you? Could be, give me revenge, give me revenge, give me revenge. We could go on and on. Take them to court, take them to court. Anyway. Now, I got to tell you, I know that God can deliver without any withdrawals. He delivered me from alcoholism. And I had been an alcoholic for 10 years. I don't even remember praying about that. But within the first 2 weeks, I just went to bed an alcoholic. Went to sleep, woke up free, and been free ever since. 27 years now, never had another drink. Never had a symptom yet. It was not that way with cigarettes, I'm telling you now. Pastor. Kundala Bratsusti. Kumaso. All right. Kumasa Kitose. Frondas. Mumara Brasuki. We're teaching on righteousness. But the reason why is we're headed for revival. Not really teaching on this just for teaching's sake. We keep asking Him, and before I even say this, I thank God for every miracle I have ever seen at this church, and I've seen a lot of them. Many of you weren't here that long ago when they brought in the twisted man and set him right about there. He'd already been through several operations and all twisted up. And Dave just set him in a chair and prayed for him. The guy was just gnarled. I don't know, like an old root. Just gnarled. You was here. Dave just prayed for him and walked away and began doing something else, ministering, you know. Sue and I were sitting in a good spot that night. We had a good view. And that man just unfolded. He just unfolded. Stood up, was kind of in a daze, like he didn't know where he was. He started walking straight, walking around that way, kind of like, you know, I don't know what he was seeing. I don't know what he was seeing. Gave his testimony, not that day, came back 2 weeks later or so. He had already been through, I don't know how many surgeries, to the point the doctor said, there's nothing more we can do for you. You're just going to be like this the rest of your life. And we sat here and watched God unfold him like a flower coming in bloom. Now, I thank God I was here. The lady that got raised from the dead during the conference was running one row behind us. I had a perfect sight. Just leaned back right down the row. There she was. Watched God raise her from the dead. Then out on the roads, God has used Sue and I on various occasions. For he would, you know, even these hands, he would use them to minister his healing. Now, we thank God for that. How many of you was here at the other conference where the little baby was? You know, and we all prayed. I mean, you know, don't point any fingers. We all prayed with all the faith we collectively had, and we had a lot of preachers here, lots and lots of them. And all of our faith together couldn't raise that little baby up. Died right there. See, so we're thankful for all the miracles we have seen. But what about those? What about the Tommy Perez? Still in the wheelchair. What about Victoria? Her parents go to this church. She needs a creative miracle in her brain. Medical science has no hope for her whatsoever. God can do that so easy. That's part of our inheritance. He's more eager to do that than we want him to do that. So, but see, we're up here asking rough questions like, okay, where are those kind of miracles? And for benefit of the message for the tape, I'm holding my hand up like the peaks of a roof. We're going, God, where is the supernatural outpouring of revival? When is that day coming when the sky is going to open like a tin can roll back and the glory is going to pour through like Dave's described it? We're asking those questions, and he is answering them. Trouble of it is, you cannot have a roof when there's no wall. And I'm finding out I've got big gaping holes in my walls. This thing on righteousness, I have intellectually understood this for years. But I am telling you, there is a big difference between knowledge and faith. I was telling Dave, I've been telling everybody, see, if you get around me right now, you get this preached at you because I can't talk about anything else. So I don't know if it was Dave or somebody else. But I said, I'm having this epiphany. It's not like new words. It's not like I haven't known these, had knowledge. But I am telling you, what the Father intended for these 2,000 years that we've lived in, the devil has almost stole it completely away. For 2,000 years. We're not walking in hardly anything. We barely understand the gospel, and we're acting all, give us miracles, you know. And he's trying. But see, in order to answer the roof question, he's got to answer the wall questions first. He's trying to build this in me. And I'm telling you, it is having such an effect on me. It is having an impact. Even on my, thank God I've been, by the way, just in case you weren't, I've been free of smoking for years. So give it up. Thank God forever. Hallelujah. Okay. But here's the other half of that.
there's other stuff.
I thought that was the end. No, no, no. There's more stuff. He's conforming us to the image of Christ. See? But he's going to bring about the real holiness. The kind that comes from the new nature on the inside. Onto the outside. We're not going to that legalistic holiness where they tried and made you holy from the outside in. No earrings, no makeup. And that was for the women. What would they say today, you know? No, it's holiness from the inside out, see? Holiness from the inside out. And thank God we're going to the right church for that. Thank God we've heard the message of how to nurture that nature. More and more, it comes in like that seed. Comes in like that seed, but he says when it first comes in, it's like a little grain of mustard seed. It's smaller than all the other plants that's already there. But if you ever learn how to nurture that thing, it has the potential to become a great tree. Put out great branches. The way I see it, I like to say it this way. If we let the Holy Ghost really have his way with that new nature, that new nature has the potential to completely take over your whole garden. That's when you become conformed to that image. And it's progressive. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's progressive. Whew, hallelujah. Let's go to Philippians 3 for just a minute. Y'all getting anything out of this? I know it's not new words. Can you tell that something's doing something in me? A word came through me at Calling in the Lost a few weeks ago. That I have to be real careful sharing that. If all you hear is those couple, it was real short, but if all you hear is that, you can almost take it as a license to sin. I don't have a copy of it with me, but the essence of it was call no man on earth your master. In other words, don't conform to other people's image of holiness. He says, I'm your master, and between you and I will walk out your holiness. Now, that doesn't mean that a fornication is okay for some and not for others. See, that's what I mean. You could take that by itself, lift it out of the whole service that night, and think I was saying, well, fornication is okay for you, but it's not okay for you. And I'm not pointing to anybody. You know, gluttony is okay for that person, but it's not okay for that person. Or, you know, John tells you what sin is. It's a breaking of the law. John tells you in his epistle. What he's talking about there is like Sue and I. One of the things right away when we got born again 27 years ago, he dealt with us strong about our music that we played all the time. And it was rock and roll music. I still like rock and roll music. I sure like it better than rap, but that's just me. And I know some people like rap. I like classic rock. Give me that old time rock and roll. That kind of music just moves my soul. Call me a relic. Call me what you will. Oh, anyway. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Bad company. Anyway. I'm 60 and I still love it. 30 years later. Now, see, this is what he means by it. Don't call any other man. Don't let Kuramashanda. There it goes again, see. Kuramashanda, I am your master. You have one master. Call no man on earth your master. I am your master. See, that's that same passage. Call no man on earth your father. Now, we know you had a father of your body. But he's talking about the father of your spirit. Your real father's in heaven. That's why you don't have a generational curse on you, by the way. You only go back one generation. Who's in between you and your father? For crying out loud. See what I mean? See what I mean? The body of Christ barely understands the gospel. I'm just telling you now, I don't care how big a ministry it is on TV, that's trash. All of it, that generational curse stuff. Now, you can have strongholds passed down generation to generation in your mind. You can deal with strongholds, but the way they teach it, like you got to repent for your great-great-grandpa. You don't have no great-great-grandpa where the curses are. You only have one Father. His name is God, and He didn't send no curse your way. Now just stop it. All those tapes, throw them away. If you've got those generational curse things, there is no such thing as that. That's just fairy tales. Fables. Old wise fables. Read the, was it Timothy? Yeah, Timothy. Where was I? What? How did I get off on that? Call no man on earth your master. Well, like with Sue and I, see, we didn't try to impose this on anybody else, but he kept dealing with us strong about our music. Because for us, I mean, it had ruled our lives for years. We never did mess with drugs, except alcohol. That was me, not her. So, you know, we didn't have like a marijuana problem in our house. He would have dealt with that. You know, we didn't have a cocaine problem in the house. He would have dealt with that. But we did have a problem in the house with our music, and it just controlled us. And he kept dealing with us, not you. That's the kind of thing. That may not be an issue. May not be an issue with you, see? I mean, you know how it was in the old holiness move? Bless God, movies are bad, period. I don't care what they are, you know. Well, a lot of them are bad. Some of them not so bad. I actually see them not through a Radio Shack window. I'll just fess up. I pay the money, go through the door. Boy, it's Gary Confesses night, isn't it? You know? But with us, it was an issue, and we would have been disobedient. We would have slowed down our walk with the Lord a lot had we not gotten rid of that music out of our house. Now, by the way, how serious was he? He even had us give the stereos away. We didn't have anything to play music on in our house for almost 20 years. Now, you talk about a stronghold, had to be dealt with. We finally got free, thank God. And he's been letting us have some music now for quite a while. Yes, sir. We're not going to have a line because he's doing it now. I've been dealing with you in love. And I hear your promise. And then I watch you for a little while and you try. And then you forget the promise. And then I come again, and I deal with you again like a loving parent. And I will come again and again. But think not I will forget. And think not there is another way. I have made you free, and I am determined that nothing control you. Your testimony shall be the same as the firstborn. Satan cometh, but he has nothing in me. I told him Sunday night, I'm believing God for a greased pole anointing. Greased pole, did you hear that? See, I'm from Pottawatomie County, and at the fair they still have greased pole climbing. You ever tried to climb a grease pole? Real slippery, hard to do. Well, the devil's coming. He's looking for handles sticking out. So he's looking for something to turn you with. I'm believing God for a greased pole anointing. Can't find nothing. Money can't turn me. Fame. What people think. Good times, bad times, in between times, nothing. We just do what the Master says. I only have one Master. He's the one I'm going to stand before that day, not you. So I don't put what He talks to me about now. That doesn't mean I necessarily have to impose that on you. See? You may not be controlled by the same things. You may not have the same strongholds. Now don't get me wrong. Whatever the Bible says is sin, is sin. Fornication is always wrong. Just get that straight. We also don't recommend that you cut down on axe murdering. I I'm going to start cutting down. I killed 5 people last week. This next week, I'm only going to kill 3. See, now that's not going to work. Now, some things are just, you got to cut, you know, it's got to go. Did that make the point strong enough? But when it comes to our individual walk, now, He is going to deal with us individually. He knows what's got you and what doesn't have you. And whatever's got you, He's already made you free. He wants us walking free. Hallelujah. Did I say go to Philippians? Did I? For benefit of the tape, there are people actually here. Several, actually. Including Dave in the front row. Hallelujah. Boy. Finally, God connected up Romans 7, Philippians 3, and I saw it. Saul was that, he was really writing about himself. He was one of many, I'm sure, but he was one. Such zeal for God. Wanting to live righteous. Tried to keep the law. But finally, he understood the gospel. See, this gift of righteousness is two parts. It's not just the fact that Jesus died for us and that His blood washed away our sin. That would be enough. Good God, would that be enough to worship God with all your life or not? Even if it left us unchanged, I mean, the fact that we could be forgiven and washed clean, that would be enough to worship God the rest of your life. But God went way beyond there. He says, like talking to Saul, He says, Saul, you know that you've been trying so hard to live righteous? Listen, not only am I going to wash all your sin away, but that old sin nature, that thing you kept talking about, that law of sin, we're going to nail it to the cross. It's going to die. And I'm going to give you the gift of righteousness. The nature of my Son on the inside of you as a free gift. Where you can live righteous the rest of your life. Now that's the real gift of righteousness. And that's what he's talking about here when he says, when he saw that, he says, now, wait a minute, I can hang on to all of my hard work or I can take this free gift. I count all my hard work but done that I might have this free gift of righteousness. Look at this. He says, verse 3, for we are the circumcision Philippians 3, verse 3. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he starts giving his pedigree. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now he starts talking about his zeal. As touching the law, not just a normal, everyday believer, not me. I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. This is the Romans 7 guy. Doing everything that he knows to do, trying to keep God's law. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in Him. Now here it is about righteousness. Look at this. Be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness which is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Now I could go on, but I want to stop right here. Let's really look at this. He says there's two kinds of righteousness. Paul has lifted in both of them. One of them is the righteousness of the law. And that's That's where you use your human effort. You see God's law, what the perfect standard that He has. You set your mind, you're going to keep it. But with all of your good efforts and all of your best intentions, God proved for thousands, hundreds of years at least, down through the centuries, nobody could keep that thing. Nobody could keep it. Everybody was a failed. Why? Because man has a flaw. He has a sin nature on the inside of him. There's something flawed at the core. And Saul, you know, you could offer the appropriate sacrifice and be found blameless that way, but Saul wanted to really live righteous. And he's that guy who set his mind again and again, I'm going to live righteous. I agree with your law. With my mind, I'm going to keep it. Failed time and time and time again. You can hear him crying out, who can deliver me from this body of death? And here comes God and says, look, all that you're trusting in, all that human effort, all your pedigree, listen, if you'll give up on that and receive the free gift of righteousness, first off, my son is going to take your sin and he's going to pay the full price as though he committed your sin. And in his place, you get his righteousness as though you never sinned. But listen, that right there. See, that would be the wonder of the ages. But see, really, that's what Abraham had. Now, he had it accounted righteousness, like Pastor teaches. He charged it to the master. Remember that master charge? Charged it to the cross. But Abraham had the accounted righteousness looking forward to the cross. But he himself still had that law of sin and death. God said, that's not enough, though. Saul, I'm going to do something else for you. You know how you've always wanted to live righteous? And you couldn't. What if I give you a different nature on the that flaw that's on the inside of you? What if I just take it away? And instead, I'm going to put the nature of my son in there. He lived in the same kind of body you're living in. But that nature kept him free from sin. Even for 30 years before he received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That nature alone, I'm going to put that same. Would it be okay, Saul? But I put that same nature in you just as a free gift. Saul says, hey, when a Jew sees a good deal, I'll probably get in trouble right there, but he says, I count everything that I've done but done. Give me this righteousness. Give me this righteousness which is by faith. Now we've got about 4 minutes. As this is really starting to see, Karamasangalo, yes, sir. Come on. Romans 12. We'll end where we started. Because how do you live it? See, how does it change you? This is how it changes you. Romans 12. Verse 1 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, based on everything that Paul said and everything that I've said for the last hour. Because of this, you can present your bodies now a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And like Dave said, and God thinks it's perfectly reasonable. Why? Because He's given you the ability to do it. With the nature of His Son as a free gift, it's reasonable now. You don't have to sin anymore. This is having it. I told you there's other stuff. My life now. Things that I've allowed. Not big things. Quit it. Stop it. I'm not coming after and asking you about your stuff. But just things. It'd be good to go, if we had more time, go to, you know, Romans chapter 2. You know, our thoughts, either excusing or accusing. You know, well, like again, the way Dave says it, if you're doing it right, you will not excuse any thought that your new nature is accusing. If the new nature says that's wrong, it's wrong. And you don't allow it. Now, Father, help me say this. Say it. What is the righteousness which is by faith? I don't have to sin anymore. Before I thought I did. Make it to 81st, make a left, get past the tree, light up. It's other things now. But that righteousness which is by faith, the thing we've got to be renewed to, I really don't have to sin anymore. At all. Ever. And if I do, let's not go off into condemnation and jump off the bridge. If we confess our sins, He is faithful not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us again from all unrighteousness. See, and that's what Adam never had. He did not have the advocacy ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that blood on that mercy seat, the real one that's in heaven, and it is there forever. Thank God, it must drive the devil crazy. He follows Bernard around for 3 weeks trying to find one slip up. Bernard's so holy, even the devil has trouble finding dirt on Bernard. And finally, Bernard loses his temper a little bit, says something he shouldn't have to beautiful Michelle. The devil says, aha, aha, I have him now. I have evidence. I have Bernard right where I want him. And right about then, Bernard says, oh, Father, I'm sorry. Michelle, I love you. I'm so sorry, baby. And she goes, wee, I love you. I love you since Paris, you know. And he goes, and then the devil's going, oh, no, don't do it, Bernard, don't do it. And then Bernard goes, Father, I'm sorry. Father, wash me by the blood. Father, forgive me and cleanse me of this. And the devil goes, no. 3 weeks I followed him around to get some kind of evidence where I could prosecute him. And then there's that blood again. Drives me crazy. It's as though Bernard has never failed God. Hallelujah. We got more to learn about the righteousness which is of God by faith. But it's going to take a renewing of the mind. Now, this last thing, and I can say the last thing at least twice, because if we're still in Philippians, I'd show you where Paul went, finally, my brethren. Then later on, he went, finally. Okay. Notice this. This took forever for me to get this. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the new birth. Is that what it says? I'm asking, is that what it says? He is getting it so... This is another thing that it's changing. This renewing of the mind. Did you renew your mind to the multiplication table by saying it once? Did you have to do it again and again and again until it just became part of you? What about your ABCs? You didn't just do it once. You had to do it again and again to renew your mind till it became part of you. I am seeing this transformation. It doesn't happen by virtue of the new birth alone. Now that'll change your spirit, but apparently what changes our walk is the renewing of the mind. And what does the mind have to be renewed to? That's why he showed me John 8. It's fine to renew it to all those other things, but what he's talking about now for our revival, the missing part of the wall, we have been made free from sin. And we've got to be renewed to that. And that's going to take some real... That's not going to happen by accident. The renewing of the mind. Look at it again. Be not conformed to this world. Let's say it this way. No longer be conformed to the world. But be you transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. By the renewing of our mind has got to be reprogrammed. Will you allow me to say it that way? And I'm telling you right now, the whole world and 98.9% of religion will get you, keep your mind from being renewed. You have been made free from sin. This is going to take some real work. It's going to be done on purpose, or it's not going to get done. But at this church, it's going to get done. You hear me? Say it. Say it with me. I have been made free from sin. I don't have to sin anymore. God gave me a new nature. It's a nature of righteousness. It's a free gift. I have the power to walk free from sin just like Jesus did. It's His nature. The same power that caused Him to walk free from sin is in me. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. 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 Now it's going to take a lot of that right there to renew our minds to where even the world would look at you. I mean, the world would look at Smith and said, that's a different kind of human. That's a different kind of human just from the way he walked. God's presence was so able to fill him. Another prophecy that came to me the other night that I would have chosen a different example, but he brought it up, and what can I do? I keep telling you I'm closing, don't I? Father, I promise to quit lying. I don't have to lie anymore. No. This just came. We was talking about presence. How many of you would like the presence to be on you like it was on Smith? You know what he said to me? I started to say it another way, and he showed me a picture real quick. He says, His presence is going to be some so a part of you that in the same way that you can't go anywhere without your blood, you won't go anywhere without His presence. Well, see, I would have chosen a different example than that. That's strange. But let me just ask you, where all you been last week without your blood? Where'd you go without it? But it's so much a part of you, you don't even think about it. You know, I got my cell phone, got my wallet, got my blood. No. See, it's so a part of us, and that's what he's saying. We're going to be so renewed to this, people, in the same way that we are so one with him, his presence. In the same way you just can't even think of going, you just can't go anywhere without that blood. We're not going to be going anywhere without his presence. God, I'm looking forward to that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I know this isn't anything new. I thank you for Dave having great restraint not to be slapping himself on the head all the time. Father, but I thank you that I'm getting it. I thank you that it's an epiphany for me, and I'm hoping for others. Father, bring us into the reality of this, that we no longer walk like mere men. We're not mere men. We're children of the Most High God. We're your children, Father. Father, bring us into the fullness of this. Not in religious ways, not in judgmental ways, not in condemning ways, but Father, to walk as your Son walked. To walk as your Son walked. Full of life, full of truth, full of love, and full of power. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Everybody says, Amen. Amen.